In this episode, I interview a three-term senator who just became a Mormon.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. This is Kurt Frankum, your host. If you're new to Leading LDS, I welcome you. You're in the right place to learn all things leadership related to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where we strive at Leading LDS to enhance the leadership ability across the world in the church. So today is an interesting interview, one I can't really compare it to too many others, but it's my first politician that I've had on the podcast. And this is Senator Larry Pressler, who is a three-term senator from the state of South Dakota. And many of you may have come across an article recently about him, but back in April of 2016, he was baptized a member of the church. And a really unique story, and I'll link to those articles so you can get the full story. Senator Pressler was kind enough to carve out a space of time for me to interview him, but he really only had 15 minutes or so. So this is definitely a shorter episode than you might be used to on the podcast, but one I'm grateful for. And it was fun to talk about him and learn a little bit about leadership and about his conversion and hear about his progress in the church. Here's my interview with Senator Larry Pressler. I have the pleasure today to sit down through the magic of Skype with Senator Larry Pressler. How are you, Senator?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. Well, I appreciate you giving me some of your precious time, and I know you're a three-term senator from South Dakota, right?
Yes, I had the privilege of serving two terms in the U.S. House and three terms in the U.S. Senate for a total of 22 years in Congress.
Wow, that's quite a career, and I bet you're proud of that. I imagine that took a lot of work to.
Yes, I'm very proud of that. I'm also proud of the fact that I'm also a father of a daughter and. Some grandchildren, and I hope I've been a good citizen. I left the Congress in 1996, 97, I guess, June 3rd, 97. And since that time, I've been a combination of doing charitable boards and also corporate boards and teaching. I've taught at over 20 universities, including Brigham Young University.
Oh, wow. Great. And are you originally from South Dakota then?
Yes.
Okay, and currently, you reside in Washington still?
Oh, back and forth a little bit, but yes.
Oh, okay, great. Well, the main reason I wanted to reach out to you and interview was primarily I came across an article. I believe initially I found it in the Deseret News, and then found some other articles online as well. But back in April of 2016, you joined the church, the LDS Church. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I'm very happy about that. It was other than marrying my wife, that's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Wow, that's fantastic. So tell us just briefly, I know I'm going to refer people to the article, but Senator Harry Reid initially invited you to read the Book of Mormon. Is that how the story goes?
Well, he helped me along the line. This is about a 30-year story. I actually first read parts of the Book of Mormon when I stayed in a Marriott hotel. I was a young Foreign Service officer then, and I met, and my first pollster was Dick Wortheland, who was a Mormon. And I just had a lot of coincidences in my lifetime, a lot of inner voices and happenings. And I've served in the Senate with 12 Mormon senators and several in the House, Morris Udall and others. And I always like to tell people there's slightly more Democrats among them than there were Republicans, but that's irrelevant. But they didn't try to convert me or anything, but I just had a large number of friends, including Bob Bennett, who just died, I think, today or yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just recently passed away. So did, and I've read various articles about Senator Reed that he has a stack of Book of Mormons in his office, and that he's sort of known for giving those out as individuals as he meets with different people. Is that accurate, or is that sort of the scenario you have?
Yes, that's accurate. Harry Reed is a dear friend of mine, and but he is also a very good Mormon and does a lot of home visits and talks about the Mormon Church very proudly. And I've known him since. I think we were both in the House of Representatives at the same time, going way back. But he's a great man. I'm very grateful to him. He put me in touch with Clayton Christensen, who baptized me and who just swore me in as a Melchizedek priest. I hope I said that right here a few Sundays ago. And so I'm very grateful to all of this. And I'm not a real public Mormon. I enjoy the prayer and meditation and the wrestling with the scriptures. I'm a teacher, a Sunday teacher. I'm just going to prepare. I just did a message on the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to give one a Sunday school, a little Sunday school talk on I think it's chapter 26 of the Gospels and Principles on fasting. So,
oh, great.
So I enjoyed worshiping and going to church mostly.
Nice. So you mentioned you were just ordained an elder. Is that accurate?
Or? Melchizedek priest. I think that does that make me an elder yet? So
yeah, if you have the Melchizedek priesthood, generally the first office you'll go into is elder, and then high priest. Probably not in the too distant future for you. So, but well, that's great. That's congratulations on your progress in the church, and it's great to hear. It's such a blessing for you. So. You currently teach Sunday school. Is that your first calling you had after being baptized?
Yes.
Wow, it's
Sunday school teacher. Yeah,
it's a great way to continue to learn, right? As you have opportunity to teach.
Yes, and so yes, I enjoy that, and I do a fair amount of research, I'm getting my lesson ready on fasting.
Now, you mentioned that Senator Reed first introduced you to Clayton Christensen. What initially made that connection? What inspired that to happen, that connection to Brother Christensen?
An article that I read in the New Yorker, it talked about Clayton's time at Oxford University. And both Clayton and I have shared the experience of being Rhodes Scholars. And when Clayton was at Oxford, he... prayed the prayer out of the book of Moroni, where you say that this is not true, God, tell me. And I read that with some interest, because if the great Clayton Christensen had some doubts when he was at Oxford, why, I thought that was very significant that he talked about that. And so I guess it was that, reading that article with Harry Reed, my friend, and Harry called Clayton Christensen. So then my wife and I went with Clayton and his wife to a Rhodes Scholar conference in England together, and that helped to move things along a little bit. But I would criticize myself. I would be critical of myself in the sense that for 20 or 30 years, I had some inner voices and some coincidences that I should have acted on sooner.
Great. And so you first met Clayton Christensen while were you taking the discussions for the missionaries at that time? And he...
Yes. Well, this there's quite a bit more to the story. It's such a long story. Well, with
sure.
I did a lot of teaching after I left the Senate, and I was a Fulbright professor both in Italy and France. And I was a visiting professor for a semester at Sciences Po. It's a French university. And while there, I had some missionaries from Europe, not even the United States, I worked with. And I also went to a large Mormon meeting in Paris, at which Apostle Anderson spoke. And he held up the Book of Mormon and the New Testament, Old Testament, and said, this is what I believe in. It's true. And I felt the same way.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And what about, I'm curious, as I was reading the article, I think in one of the articles it mentioned the full-time missionaries that taught you. What was it like for them to sit down with a U.S. senator and teach them the gospel? Did they seem intimidated, or what was that experience like?
Oh, they certainly didn't. I met with several missionaries, and I'm very grateful to them. And the missionaries are just amazing. And I'll probably ask some I'll probably find some missionaries at church this summer and ask them for guidance on my next Sunday school lesson on fasting. The missionaries always know the answers. They're very smart, and we've had a lot of missionaries do work in South Dakota, including on the Indian reservation, Pine Ridge. We have a terrific problem there with alcoholism and people's lives, women who do not get married but have several children. And this is the social circumstances. It's not, I don't condemn them. They're caught in us. But I think the Mormon example of non-alcoholic work is prayer. And I look upon work as prayer. And I'm very grateful I'm still able to work and to do some productive things.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And as I explained before we started recording, this podcast is something I put together to help leaders in the church, you know, expand their leadership ability and become better leaders. And I would imagine your time in the Senate and even in any government, political position, there's a great deal of leadership that comes from that. As you look back at your time serving in the Senate, what general leadership guidance would you give to individuals striving to be better leaders?
Well, you can be a leader if you're a mother or a father with your children, or you can be a leader in your local working situation. You don't have to be in the U.S. Senate. In fact, I think some of our greatest leaders maybe are not in government. I think leadership by example is the most important thing. But it wasn't just that I met Mormons of high station. There are a lot of, in the Sioux Falls ward in South Dakota and elsewhere, there are a lot of lower middle income people who are very good Mormons and very good citizens. So they too, I had several Mormons work for me over the years. I didn't realize they were Mormons when I hired them, but some of them I got close to and would talk about the Book of Mormon and about faith in God and gratitude.
Oh, fantastic. So now obviously you're retired from politics. You're done with that phase of your life. Did I read somewhere in the article that you're working on a book? Is that accurate?
Yes, I've published a book, and it's you can go to Amazon and then put Pressler there, or Larry Pressler, and you can buy it for a very reasonable price. But it's about my career and my biography.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely link to that on the show notes. And I know you're on a tight schedule and have to run to another appointment, so I appreciate you giving me some of your time. And I look forward to following. I mean, obviously, it's not a public path, but I look forward to hopefully being in touch and seeing you continue to progress and learn. And it's a great to have you part of the kingdom of God on the earth. So.
Well, thank you very much. I got one of the last autographed books from Senator Bennett, and he said, "Welcome to the kingdom."
Oh, nice. Well, he'll definitely be missed.
I thank
for
you
sure.
very much for talking to me. I don't think I know any more about religion or God than anybody else.
Sure.
I'm still learning. I go to classes and I'm searching, and I'm very much appreciative of that. But I would criticize myself in that I think we have to listen to our inner voices on some of this sooner sometimes.
Absolutely.
And so forth. But in other words, I'm very happy and everything's worked out well.
That concludes my interview with Senator Pressler. Sure appreciate his time just talking with me and learning about his conversion story, and it's fun to hear him progress, that he's being ordained and right on track with just like any other convert that's faithful in the church and he's got a calling and doing good work. As I mentioned in the beginning, I'll link to some of the articles that were written out there, and so you can learn more about his conversion story and how Senator Reed and Clay Christensen played a role in that, and other LDS politicians. And you know, you don't hear about converts a lot that joined the church in their early 70s, and so it's great to see how humble he is and how he mentioned that it was one of the greatest decisions he's made in his life, and it's just inspiring to see that. As always, I encourage you to go to leadinglds.com/help, H-E-L-P, and look at a variety of ways that you can contribute to Leading LDS. And really, all I'm asking is $1 a month. as you contribute to Leading LDS. And if everybody who listened to this gave a dollar a month, we could do some fantastic things. And there's a link at leadinglds.com/help where you can contribute a dollar a month. It'll come out automatically. And we put that to the editing of the episodes. And if you've noticed, there have been a lot more episodes coming out. And that's due to the fact that people have been contributing that dollar a month so I can pay the editors and the hosting and things like that to make sure it continues forward. And so I've got bigger and better plans for Leading LDS. And so if you could look under your couch cushions and find that dollar a month, it would go a long way. And really, I tend to think everybody listening to this probably has a dollar somewhere they could throw at Leading LDS and help the cause move forward. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.